Well, it's good to see you. How many of you got to watch some of the live streaming that we did for Sunday school? Raise your hand. That's quite most all of you. Well, that's good. And we welcome you back to the Sunday school hour. And all of those that are watching by live stream, we know some of them were not comfortable with coming back right now, but that's all right. We understand that. And they will eventually be back with us. But hopefully they're watching by live stream, and some others that are not even members of the church, no doubt, that are watching by live stream. And so we're glad for that. Let me just ask you to be praying now for Lois Davis in the nursing home, and then Becky King, who had a fall and had surgery this week. She's back home and doing pretty good, as I understand, doing okay. And then continue to pray for Joe and Nancy Hawkins. Miss Hawkins is taking some treatments, but they are treatments that have not done a lot of good yet. Just keep praying for them. She is has some very difficult days, and we appreciate you doing that. Now, keep in mind that we'll be taking our faith promise offering today. There will be the cards. I think they'll be giving those out at the end of the morning service to those who want that. And otherwise, you'll have to get your phone on this little gizmo here. And what's that called? Somebody tell me. QR code. Yeah, I knew that a long time ago. Get the QR code. I don't know if most of us probably use cards in here. I don't know. But anyway, if you want to do that, you can. And still make your commitment for Faith Promise. And we'll have that opportunity that will be, I think, at the end of the service. The pastor will be telling you more about that. Keep in mind the announcements that he gives and those that have already been posted. And we'll look forward to the things that are happening. We've had a great mission conference so far. I'm just amazed at the crowd that has come out during the COVID-19 era, and have been faithful to the missions conference. And Dr. Sisk, raise your hand there, Dr. Sisk. He's been our guest speaker, and what a blessing. If you don't know this man, you ought to know him. He's a blessing to all of us, and God has used him greatly, tremendously. He'll be preaching in the morning service and then back tonight in the evening service, and we certainly look forward to that. All right, we want to get into our lesson. The pastor asked me to go ahead and do a faith promise offering lesson, and I'm glad to do that. You know, preachers like to talk about money, so I'm glad to do that. The faith promise offering. Take your Bibles, and let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll read verses 6 through 8. We're very familiar, probably, in this class, certainly with those verses, but a reminder is good for us all the time. And so in verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." If you believe that, say amen. It's in the Bible, isn't it? There it is. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart," it's an individual thing, "so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." If you give grudgingly, you miss a real blessing, you know. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And these are the just basic principles in any giving, but would be applicable also to faith promise. Now, what is the faith promise offering? What's it for? The faith promise offering is a biblical method. And I want to underscore those two words. It is a biblical method for raising funds for missions and world evangelism. A biblical method of doing that. So first, let me remind you, it is not a gimmick. You know, a lot of people think the preacher and the teacher or whoever it may be is trying to use a little gimmick to try to get everybody fooled to do it. But that's not the basis of this at all. It is not a gimmick. Look at chapter 8 in 2 Corinthians. Stay there. We'll be going to some of the verses back here. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you." What does that word mean? It's good for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. To be forward a year ago. So we're introduced to the principle of making a yearly commitment right here. And chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "For I know," Paul said, "the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." So we see that it is something that we can give by faith a year in advance. We make that commitment, and the church at Achaia was ready to give a year in advance. They didn't necessarily give it all at one time, but they make that commitment in their heart and in their church. But this has benevolence and missions implications in it. Look at chapter 10 and verses 15 and 16. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. Verse 15, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." To do what? To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. He's showing us in these two verses that there's a general principle of benevolence, helping other people out, but a very specific principle of having missions implications that have to do with the Apostle Paul and missions. Now, the Macedonian believers in the church, the Macedonian church, supported the Apostle Paul. They supported him. How do we know that? Well, in Philippians 4, 15 and 16, I'll just read those verses. "Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul says, you're a church that saw the need, and you sent once and again, more than one time, to help me out. So it's not a gimmick. It has Bible premise, and it is something that is taught in the Scripture, the biblical method, and that's just a part of it. We'll cover more, but that's the groundwork for it as far as our giving. And it is not, keep in mind, that it's a biblical method. Secondly, our giving for missions, faith promise giving, should be over and above our tithes and offerings. It should be over and above our tithes and offerings. And I'll tell you the difference in an offering and the faith promise giving in just a little bit. But the tithe is what? It's 10% of your gross income. Now, you hear the argument, well, that's Old Testament and blah, blah, blah. But Jesus said, when they were talking about what they did, he said, these things ought you to have done. And he endorsed the tithe in the New Testament. So the tithe is 10% of gross income, not what's left. If it's like my house, it wouldn't be much left. So 10% of what's not much left is not much. But tithe is 10% of gross income. Offerings are given out of what we already have, all right? We have it. You got your tithe, then you have your offerings. Faith promise mission offering is a step further than that, and they are above and beyond our tithes and offerings. That's different. It's different. So faith promise is giving it by faith, not out of an abundance of what you have, and not your tithe, but what you can't see. And that's where we really struggle with it, but it's what we can't figure out that we can do. Most of the time when we fill that card out, we're thinking, I think I can handle this. I think I can probably do this. And I'd rather you did that and not do it at all. But at any rate, it's a faith promise giving, designated faith promise giving, and it's giving by faith, believing God will supply it. Here's what I'm saying. You don't say, I'm going to give, say, $50 a week, faith promise missions, and then say, now when God gives it to me down the road somewhere, I'll give it. That's not faith promise missions. Because there you get it, you have it, you give it. But true faith promise missions is you make the commitment and you're trusting God to give that to you and to channel it through you back to missions. That is faith. Faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, you know, the evidence of things not seen. It's faith giving. And so we give by faith. And by the way, that's an exciting lifestyle to give by faith and watch what God does. I mean, that puts a different dimension in Christianity and in our serving the Lord. So it is, that's what it really is. So I hope you get that. It's not out of your abundance or out of your tithe, but it is something you say, I don't know where in the world this will come from, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to make my commitment and just watch God do it. And I can tell you, God will do it. And there are a lot of people in here, and some of you, of course, probably most of you, would be able to say that. Thirdly, faith promise is not designated for one missionary. Now, some people may take issue with that, and you have to do what God tells you to do as far as that goes, but I don't believe that's the wisest thing to do, is to designate all of what you're giving, or even the larger part necessarily, but this can cause, here's why, this can cause one missionary to have an overabundance of supply and another missionary be out there without enough funds to even get along hardly. So it's given to the church, and the church leadership distributes it, and the pastor and the leaders are very familiar with the field. Different fields require more money, less money. There are a lot of factors that enter into it, but sometimes we want to just designate it to our close friend or somebody that we like more than anybody else. I think that's not the best way, and we ought to give it not just to one missionary. Now, faith promise is also not a pledge. Now, I came out of a Southern Baptist background, and I think Dr. Sisk did too, and we had pledges, and the pledge then, as I understood it, I was just a young fellow when I came out of the convention. But back then, a pledge was like going to the bank and signing a deal almost, or getting your credit card and putting money on it, and you promise you're going to pay it back. And if you weren't on time, they'd get on the phone and call you and say, where's your pledge? And so I don't think that's the way God intended for it to be. But the commitment is between you and God. It's between you and God. I don't have to know anything about it. The pastor doesn't, anybody else. It's between you and the Lord. And when you turn in your card, there's not a place for your name on it, right? Not a place for your name on it. I didn't know if you'd change it or not, but anyway, I assumed that because it's not a pledge. And if you're going to do it online later, those cards, by the way, are disposed of. It's nobody else's business what you did. And they just tally it and they dispose of those cards anyway. And if you give it online, I'm sure that will be deleted or whatever, so that it's private. It's between you and God. Between you and God. Number five, faith promise is not giving according to your ability. And I've already mentioned that, but giving it by faith. And let me give you a verse of scripture to back that up just to reinforce what I've already said. 2 Corinthians 8:3, there close in your text, chapter 8, verse 3. And here's the way he said it. For to their power I bear record, yea, and notice these words, beyond their power. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. 2 Corinthians 8:3. Now, when you do that, that's where I was talking a while ago about it can get real exciting to do what God tells you to do and see what God's going to do. But some people say, well, how is God going to do that? Let me tell you, God is able to do a lot of things. Amen. He's able to do a lot of things, more than we could think or even hope for. But he can, first of all, increase your supply. God can do that. Now, I remember when we made our first commitment. I was in my first church, and the church where I was a youth director, we didn't have Faith Promise Missions. Their philosophy was, Lord, we'll keep him poor and you keep him humble. That was their philosophy. But when I got my first church, I had to get them out of that philosophy a little bit. But the thing that happened, we just didn't have much money. We lived in a church parsonage. That means you don't build up any equity in a home and all that kind of thing. And if they get mad at you, they kick you out the next week. So that's not the best program for a church and for a pastor. But that was what we had. And I took the church, about 90 people. We took it by faith and felt that God would bless it. I remember it had a two-tone roof. Half of it was green. The other half was blue. And I could go into a lot of details about it, but the Lord blessed, and the church grew. Dr. Barber preached for us there. He's familiar with that work and how God's hand was on it. But I remember we started Faith Promise Missions there, and we had to make a commitment. And so we did. And we couldn't see it. We just, Carol and I prayed about it, and we came up with it, and we just couldn't see how are we going to do this? I don't see how we can do it because we just didn't have any money. And so we made our commitment on Sunday. On Monday, Dr. Sisk, a man I didn't even know, knocked on our door. He was a Mennonite. We were in Harrisonburg, Virginia, where a lot of Mennonites live. And so he knocked on the door, and he had a beard, and he came up. And I said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? This was at the parsonage. He said, I know you don't know me, but he said, the Lord laid it on my heart, I think he said last night or something, to come by and bring you some eggs. And he started giving us eggs. And for that whole about 7 years there, he always brought eggs and then vegetables. And then later on, he and his wife and son became members of our church. But the only way I knew that he might have known about me was we'd already started a radio program, but I don't know if he listened to it. He never said. But he just shows up, knocks on the door, and says that, and starts bringing eggs and vegetables, and just kept on doing that. And I'm thinking, that's God. And, you know, I don't shout because I'm a Baptist, you know, but I do believe I shouted that day. And I grabbed my wife, and I said, look what God's done already. And I could tell you a lot of stories, and you'll be glad that I don't. But I'm telling you, God has given. Let me tell you this one right quick. I had won a guy to the Lord who had a car dealership and a restaurant. And then I led another guy to the Lord who had a repair shop for cars, a body shop. And so one Wednesday night, I believe it was, they said, now, Pastor, we're going to have a little something for you out in the foyer out there when you come out with preaching. So we don't want you to see what it is. When I came out, the dealer had taken a car in, a Volkswagen, had been wrecked by a young lady. And then the body man, they got together and said, let's fix this up and give it to preacher. And I needed it. I really needed it. And boy, you can get a lot of mileage out of those old Volkswagens. And it looked like a brand new. And they had pushed it. They were small. They pushed it into the lobby. And when I went out, there was the car. Then I had a guy, honest, give me it was a used, not very used, Buick Electra one time. And then we had a gentleman in our church, a treasurer of our church, actually give us a Mercury Marquis. And I know some of you are saying, well, that's just, that's just because you were a preacher. No, it's because God honors faith, promise, giving, and honors giving. I believe that with all of my heart. And thank God, that Mercury Marquis, I think, in Volkswagen was two of the best cars I ever had in my life. The Electra wasn't too bad. But God takes care of it. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And the principle that is a lasting principle there is it is him that giveth the power to get wealth, and he can do it. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity theology this morning. I'm not saying to you that if you give, and just because you give, that doesn't mean you're not going to have some problems and some trials and some difficulties along the way, but you're going to see God's hand throughout those times like you probably would not have seen it had you not been faithful in giving. But I saw a man the other day. I was looking for some good preaching on the TV, and I ran across this guy and I said, I'm going to watch him. He looked wild-eyed, and he was right up toward the camera, you know, and he was saying, just send me $1,000 seed monies, faith, seed, faith money, and God's going to give you. And he went on, blah, 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 blah. Well, there's a guy north of Eagle Mountain Lake that preaches the same kind of thing, and they'll tell you anything. Somebody referred to them as the super apostles, the name it and claim it crowd, and all of that. They believe in a Santa Claus Jesus, and that he's going to, no matter whether you're saved or unsaved, if you do this, he's going to give you all those things. But let me tell you, God will increase your supply. He'll do it. He'll meet that need, and he'll do it. Secondly, he'll show you how to decrease some of your spending. He'll show you, well, I could cut some things here. I could do something over here. And the next thing you know, some of that makes a difference. Thirdly, he'll give you the wisdom. The wisdom to what? To be good stewards of what he's given you. You know, not everybody's a good steward of what God gives us. And we need to be good stewards. We've been studying some of that in our Sunday school lesson, which we'll get back to next week, stewarding our lives, and part of that stewarding in our finances. But he'll give you wisdom to be good stewards, and he gives grace to sacrifice. If you need to sacrifice, God will give you the ability to do that, whatever it may be. You know, you could use this illustration, cut out eating out once, but now with the COVID, we don't do much of that. But my wife and I got a McDonald's last night. It was the sorriest thing I put in my mouth in 10 years. But we were in a hurry and had to go through. Boy, they have changed. But at any rate, he'll give you wisdom to be good stewards. God gives you grace to sacrifice. And he performs, and this is where it's so exciting, the supernatural. He performs the supernatural. I believe in a God that can perform supernatural things, don't you? He has all power, and he can do that. And Mark says in 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. Do we really believe that? Do we believe if we give by faith that God could meet that need supernaturally and channel that through us? I hope we do. And then number six, faith giving is motivated by love. Not just to try to please the pastor or to make a show or anything like that, but by love. 2 Corinthians 8:8. Look there close to where we were. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. And in that verse, he says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. How much do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do we give? Why do we get involved in this? Well, we give because of the Great Commission. And Jesus came unto them and he saith unto them, he's talking about the Great Commission, that he wants us to follow him and to baptize and to teach and to train, disciple people. And that's not, by the way, that's not just a simple suggestion. That's what God says. And God says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And he says to do what I say to do. And God wants us to do that. And so we have the Great Commission. Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the world or the end of the age. That's not just a suggestion. That's something God tells us we have a responsibility to do. And then he says, if you love me, do what I said in Matthew 28:18-20 and the other places where it's given. And that's one reason we love him. We know this is his plan. We want to give. And then we have the very example of Christ, don't we? Look at 2 Corinthians 8:9. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. If he did that for us, then it's the least we could do for some other people so that they can get the gospel. And so we have the example of Christ. We have the great commission that God has given us. And then thirdly, because God's blessings are on us in this country. And I'm talking Americanese right now. We are a blessed people. Even during this time, we're still mightily blessed. We're very blessed people in America. And I think Dr. Sis gave some of these statistics the other day. But America makes up 5% of the world's population. That's a small percentage of the world's population. And it has at least 51% of the world's wealth, America. So we're without excuse, really, compared to a lot of these people, a lot of these countries. 2 Corinthians 8, look at verse 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 8, 13 and 14. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply to their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And he's saying, we're so blessed in America, let's don't forget about people around the world, and especially in the need of getting the gospel to them and supporting works and helping build buildings and helping them be able to have the supplies they need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul even said in 2 Corinthians 11:8, did you know Paul was a robber? He said he was. He said, I robbed other churches. Now that word is sulao. It's a Greek word, and it simply means that he stripped other churches or took from the benefits of other churches. He took their funds to help him. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And he's saying to them, they sacrifice. Now that's a good thing for us to do, to also sacrifice. And then the faith promise offering is good for the believer, and it's good for the church. I'll hurry on these last points. 2 Corinthians 8:10, he said, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you. We read that earlier. This is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Expedient means good or advisable or in your own interest. That's what he's saying. It's for your own benefit to do this, to be expedient. And so he is talking about something that is good for the believer and obviously good for the whole church. And then number 8, making a promise or vow is encouraged in Scripture. Some people think it isn't, but it is. Psalm 76:11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be around him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. Vow and pay unto the Lord. It's all right to make a promise to the Lord. And you remember Paul's references, we won't read all of these, but in 2 Corinthians 8:10 and 9:2, Paul had the term a year ago, a year ago. In both of those references, 2 Corinthians 8:10 and 9:2, he talks about a year ago. So make a vow when you have the faith promise opportunity today. Make the vow and keep it and make a promise to God. And I know some people say, I just don't believe in commitments. Well, how long have you been married? Well, about 45 years. You don't call that a commitment? And you borrowed money on to buy a car. You don't call that commitment. And you financed a home. You don't call that commitment. You don't believe in commitment. And you had your gizzard taken out at the hospital, and they charged you for what the insurance didn't pay. You made a commitment. When you sign that paper going in, you make a commitment. This is scriptural, by the way, as we saw. Now, faith promise offering includes every member of the family. It should include every member of the family. Now, most of us in here grandparents. There are a few that are not. You're not. Are you? No, I know you're not. Grandparents. And or maybe a parent. You need to start your children young in life. Teach them the principles of giving. When I was a little lad, we always went to church, always. I never can remember a time back in my life when I can go back and start remembering things, but what we were in church. My daddy worked for Lockheed. He retired as the war was winding down. He didn't like being in the factory. We moved to Louisiana. He started farming, and the only vehicle we had to go to church in was a tractor and a trailer, and that's how we went to church. I remember one night the lights were blinking and Daddy turned around, said, "Well, we can't go tonight. It's too dangerous." And I was so disappointed. I just remember we went to church. But also I remember that my mama would help me and she would fill out that little envelope. You know, when you join a church, they ought to give you the right hand of fellowship and the left hand of envelopes. And so you go on out. But I cannot remember not having my little envelope and giving. And then when I started mowing yards as a young fellow, about 13, and all of that, giving tithes and offerings as Mama would teach, and all of that, all of those years, just teaching me about tithes and offerings, and that was the right thing to do. And, of course, my dad, too. And they always practice that. So, we have so much to consider. Let me finish this up. I'm not real sure when we're supposed to be through. About now, right? Should be right about now. But right now, there are 7,811,000,000, as of yesterday, 362,973 people in the world. Let's just round that off and say there are almost 8 billion. 8 billion people in the world. This year, to date, as of yesterday, 18,537 year-to-date people have been born in the world, almost 100,000. Deaths this year-to-date in the world, 41,150,621. I know those figures excite you, but you get the idea here, and you know what's going on. We've got our work cut out for us, and we've got to reach our generation and the people now. And I know later on, I know that the two prophets are going to do miracles and people will be saved, and then the 144,000 will be sealed to preach the gospel. But some of these folks are not going to be around then. We need to reach them now. Now's when we need to get the gospel to them. Illegal drugs. Last year they spent $250 billion on illegal drugs. And yesterday, just one day, they spent $480 million on illegal drugs. And so we have given the Great Commission. We need to do something about it. Now let me summarize it very quickly. Three things. Number one, believe God for the amount. Number one, believe God for the amount. Ask Him. Number two, and then when He answers, don't say, "What?" You know, just believe God for the amount. Number two, believe God to supply the funds. Faith. Believe God to supply the funds, and then believe God will use it to impact the world. That's a good formula. Believe God for the amount, believe God to supply the funds, and believe that God is going to use it to impact the world. Souls will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that the Bible is true and that the Bible teaches us about giving, about the tithes and offerings, and about giving by faith. And Paul mentioned a number of those occasions, and we find it again and again in the Bible, the principle that we give by faith, and especially in this arena of missions. And we know that we'll not be disappointed. Lord, my wife and I have been giving by faith for some 50 years, and every year we've been able to increase it. We have done it, and You've always honored it and blessed it. And we could give many testimonies of that, as many others could. So bless our missionaries, bless our faith promise giving. We pray we'd reach that goal and that You'd be glorified, that many souls would be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.